Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Atlanta will not host the 2028 Democratic National Convention. ICE accuses lawmakers of overstaying their welcome during a detention center visit. And Republican gubernatorial candidate Rick Jackson proposes an end to sales tax on electricity.
Keeping the lights on is not a luxury. Heating a home is not a luxury. Cooling a home in Georgia summer is not a luxury. These are basic bills that arrive every month.
Today is Thursday, August 20th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Democrats have narrowed the list of potential host cities for their 2028 presidential convention to Boston, Denver, and Philadelphia. Atlanta and Chicago were eliminated. Officials did not say why. Officials visited all five cities in April and May and evaluated logistical capacity and fundraising potential, among other factors. Democrats plan to make a choice later this year. Republicans have already chosen Houston for the site of their 2028 convention. Republican gubernatorial candidate Rick Jackson laid out his affordability agenda during a campaign stop in Atlanta today, GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Jackson says if elected, he will eliminate the state sales tax on residential electricity and natural gas, which is about 4%.
Keeping the lights on is not a luxury. Heating a home is not a luxury. Cooling a home in Georgia summer is not a luxury. These are basic bills that arrive every month.
Jackson also proposed triggering a state gas tax suspension if the average price per gallon rises 35 cents over 7 days, or 75 cents within 30 days because of a war or natural disaster. Democratic candidate Keisha Lance Bottoms has also advocated for suspending the state gas tax because of the war in Iran. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson and four other Democratic members of Congress are disputing U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's account of their oversight visit to the Stewart Detention Center earlier this week. The lawmakers toured the Southwest Georgia facility Tuesday and raised concerns about conditions for detainees. Johnson called Stewart one of the worst detention facilities in the country.
Stewart Detention has a long history of denying basic human dignity and rights to detainees.
ICE says the lawmakers stayed hours beyond their scheduled visit and resisted requests to leave. The lawmakers dispute that account, saying ICE tried to prevent them from observing an immigration hearing. Johnson is calling for more congressional oversight of the facility. Georgia's highest court will soon stop routinely hearing appeals in murder cases. Murder conviction appeals, which account for more than half of the Georgia Supreme Court's published cases, will be heard in the Georgia Court of Appeals starting July of next year. Chief Justice Nels Petersen wrote in an opinion that these cases were taking up too much of the court's workload and resulted in too many binding precedents. For more on this, let's turn to Amanda Clark Palmer. She's a criminal defense attorney and partner at Garland Samuel and Loeb in Atlanta. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So the Georgia Supreme Court announced that they'll pass most of the state's murder appeals to the Court of Appeals. They'll continue to hear appeals in which the defendant has been sentenced to death. Why, in your view, are they making this change now?
This is something the Supreme Court has wanted to do for some period of time. We have seen inklings and other decisions that have come out from the Supreme Court suggesting that they do not think they have exclusive jurisdiction over appeals in murder cases. So we've known this is coming for a while, and they finally found the case in which they decided to make this proclamation and decision.
So what kind of changes might the Court of Appeals have to make to accommodate this?
Well, I mean, really practically, we need more judges on the Court of Appeals if they are going to handle appeals in murder cases where the death penalty is not sought, because that, I don't have the exact percentage, but, you know, there are so few cases nowadays in our state, thank goodness, where the death penalty is actually sought and is actually, you know, part of the sentence, that effectively, the Supreme Court is not going to hear any direct appeals in murder cases. It's all going to go to the Court of Appeals. They are overworked as it is with the other appeals that they have, and they really need to add more judges to the Court of Appeals in order to be able to handle this additional workload. Easier said than done. That requires, you know, a change at the legislative level. So, you know, we will see if that in fact happens, but that's what needs to happen practically.
The Georgia Supreme Court put this announcement in a concurring opinion on a murder trial. Is that normally how the court would make a policy change like this?
We have seen other announcements that are similar come about in this way. So it's not particularly unusual that this particular announcement came out in a concurring opinion from our Chief Justice.
So you're an attorney, you work in both courts. How would you anticipate this change affecting appellants?
I don't think anything is going to slow down because the Court of Appeals do have what we all call this two-term rule, where they have deadlines that they are supposed to follow about making decisions in cases. That's not going to change. So they are still going to have the same time pressures. You know, what I am worried about, and I don't mean this as a slight to the Court of Appeals at all, but just, you know, practically with this increased workload, you know, it makes you wonder how much time and attention they are going to be able to give all the cases that are on their docket, including, you know, the most serious cases we have where people are convicted of murder. And just practically, you know, how much of their time are they going to be able to devote to deciding these important legal issues? That's what I'm worried about.
Chief Justice Peterson said that these cases were setting too many precedents. I'm wondering if you know anything about that. Is there a particular precedent from a case that was very down in the weeds and made it difficult for judges to look at cases going forward?
I saw that too. And I just, as a practical matter, I can't quite think of a case where that would really be an issue or concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, from an attorney's perspective, from a practitioner's perspective, the great thing about almost all of the Supreme Court opinions is that they are very well reasoned, they are thought out, they are accessible. You read it and you understand how the justice got to the decision that they got to. That's helpful for all of us because it helps us understand what's the law and how do we follow it. So I think that was a good thing to have them writing these opinions in murder cases and in appeals in murder cases. So I'm not quite sure, you know, what is the concern about establishing binding precedent in these cases. I don't know what that is exactly.
Amanda Clark Palmer is partner at Garland Samuel and Loeb in Atlanta. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Layoffs this week at a Middle Georgia glass manufacturer are the latest in what's turning into two straight years of record layoffs in the state. GPB's Grant Blankenship reports.
Anchor Glass in the Houston County city of Warner Robins had 168 workers before the company closed the factory this week. That makes the pace of layoffs this year about even with 2025, the worst year for big layoffs in Georgia in a decade outside of the COVID pandemic. Derek Collins was an Anchor employee and is the acting president of the local chapter of the United Steelworkers Union.
It's a great paying job, union job, great health care. I couldn't find a job around here to pay me as much as I was making at Anchor.
Collins says the job helped him raise three grown sons and had been helping him raise his two daughters. The Houston County Development Authority says it knows of about 75 local manufacturing positions. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Researchers at Emory University recently completed their clinical trial of transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more from the study's lead author.
The non-invasive therapy is approved by the Food and Drug Administration to treat mental health disorders, including anxiety and depression. Sana Van Roy led the study at Emory. She says they found that lowering activation in the amygdala when a patient is confronted with something threatening can help treat PTSD.
So we showed fearful faces to individuals, and we measured the response in the amygdala when they were seeing these faces. So we did that before they received the TMS, and then we did that also after they had received 2 weeks of TMS.
Van Roy says the study found using MRI to guide stimulation made for more precise and individualized treatments to relieve the symptoms. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Commanders at Georgia's Fort Stewart are offering troops a re-enlistment bonus of 4 extra days off, timed around the November release of the video game Grand Theft Auto 6. Commanders of the 9th Brigade Engineer Battalion specifically mentioned the game in a memo to soldiers explaining the re-enlistment perk. A Fort Stewart spokesperson says at least 20 soldiers have accepted it so far. The November 19th release of Grand Theft Auto 6 is expected to be one of the biggest entertainment events of 2026. The city of Sandy Springs has approved a $4.3 million incentive package to support Woodfield Development's effort to turn North River Shopping Center into a mixed-use neighborhood. The plan includes turning the aging commercial center into housing, shops, restaurants, and a public park. The Southeast Georgia city of Pooler has been awarded $800,000 for a trail connecting two parks. The Pooler Park-to-Park Trail Project will connect Roger Street Park and the Pooler Recreation Park. The grant includes an 80-20 local match. In a statement, Mayor Karen Williams says the grant represents significant investment in quality of life in the community. The man who was the first African-American to serve as the state's Senate Majority Leader has died. Charles Walker died Tuesday. The Democrat was first elected to the Georgia Senate in 1990. He became the Senate Majority Leader in 1996. He's also the founder of several businesses, including the Augusta Focus newspaper. In 2007, he was indicted on several counts of mail fraud and other charges and was ultimately sentenced to a decade in federal prison. Funeral arrangements have not yet been finalized. Charles Walker was 78 years old. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Come on back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and check gpb.org/news for updates. If you've got some feedback for us, we would love to hear from you. Email us. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.